Confessions of a Trainwreck. 30, flirty, and surviving.
It's easy to speak out of the way I live, but it's a 24-carat dream. No supermodel in my dirty jeans, but in my 24-inch heels.
Commandment number 197. Thou shalt remember that if we're not meant to have snacks at midnight, then why is there a light in the fridge? If snacking was an Olympic sport, I'd be a gold medalist. And truth be told, if it was nutritionally viable for me to replace all of my main meals with snacks, I would totally do it. While for the most part I'd say that my snacking is pretty much under control, the one thing that I've completely surrendered to are my late night sweet treats. No matter how satisfied I am from dinner, I'm one of those people who has a second stomach for dessert and always need to finish my day with a little something sweet. If this sounds familiar, I can confirm that you're definitely not alone. To get the lowdown on snacking, and more specifically late night snacking, I spoke to Leanne Ward, one of Australia's leading dietitians and the co-host of the Nutrition Couch podcast. I wanted to find out why we snack, what mistakes we might be making during the day, and how to determine the difference between physical and emotional hunger. Leanne is just such a wealth of knowledge, and I love every single time I get to chat with her. I'm also a massive fan of her podcast, The Nutrition Couch, and I tune into it literally every single week without fail. And good news for everyone else who loves the podcast as much as I do, which is taking the show on the road and hosting events in Brisbane, Sydney, and Melbourne. And I've popped all of the details, including ticket information, in this week's show notes. Well, welcome back, Leanne, to the podcast. I feel like this is probably your third or fourth time on the podcast now.
I think so, yeah. I think it's awesome. I love that you're interviewing, you know, dietitians to talk about some of these nitty-gritty topics that, let's be honest, so many of us actually struggle with. Myself included sometimes.
100%. Yes. And you know what? That's actually very refreshing to know that dietitians actually struggle with it too. So what I wanted to talk to you about today is I think something that everybody can relate to, and that is not just snacking, but particularly late night snacking and after dinner snacking, because I'm one of those people who, no matter how much I've eaten, I'll always want to finish every single meal with just like a little something sweet. And I know I'm definitely not alone on that one. And there are so many memes going around Instagram, you know, that talk about this kind of thing. So firstly, can you just like validate me and tell me that I'm not the only one who is like this?
You are absolutely not the only one. And honestly, I'm not a big late night snacker. I'm more of like eat most of my calories in mid-afternoon because I feel really hungry there. But so many of my clients are late night snackers or after dinner snackers, or they literally just can't finish a meal without having something sweet after dinner. So you are not the only one. You're not in that boat alone. And there's nothing wrong with this. We just need to really decide, is it something that we're happy doing, or is it a behavior that is, you know, taking us further away from what some of our goals are? So there's nothing wrong with late night snacking or snacking after dinner, but I think it just depends on your goals and if that behavior is actually serving you.
One of the things I like that you talk about a lot on your own blog and your own podcast is the difference between physical and emotional hunger. And I feel like late night snacking has nothing to do with physical hunger, because by that point of the day, you've had all your meals, you probably had quite a big dinner. It's just something that's almost habitual. So how can you tell if a late night craving for like some chocolate or some ice cream or something is actual physical hunger or emotional hunger?
Yeah, and that's a really good question, because you're right. And I think so many people, a lot of us aren't actually in tune with our hunger. You know, I've had so many clients who say to me, I could go all day and I never feel hungry, or I feel hungry all of the time. And so I think it's really hard to sort of differentiate between the two. So I like to call the two things one thing. So I call the physical hunger the tummy hunger, and what I call that psychological type hunger the head hunger. So I say to my clients, is it head hunger or is it tummy hunger? And here are some really, I think, important distinctions between them both. So let's start with the physical hunger, right? So this is where we're actually truly hungry. Our body needs fuel. We need to give it something, you know, fairly nourishing, I would hope, to eat. So physical hunger increases bit by bit. So say you're at like a restaurant, you've ordered your dinner, and you know when you're like, you see all the plates coming out of the restaurant and you're following the waiter, you're like, oh, is that my meal? And you're like, oh, it's not.
Yes.
But you can wait for it, right? It increases bit by bit, but you're able to wait for it. It's not this like sudden urgency where you're like stealing the meal from the table next to you. You're like, oh my God, I have to eat right now. The physical hunger, you can generally wait for it. And some time has passed since you last ate. You know, you might be feeling physically hungry for lunch at say 1 o'clock because you had your breakfast at say 8 o'clock. So, like, some time has passed. It's not like you just finished dinner and then 30 seconds later, you're like, okay, what next? What's the next course? So it increases bit by bit. Time has passed. Sometimes people get a bit of a drop in their energy or they feel like, oh, you know, I'm really struggling a bit, or I feel like I'm feeling a bit flat right now. And with true tummy hunger or that physical hunger, a little bit of food won't do. You know, it's not like I can just have a carrot stick and go on with my day, or it's not like I can have a piece of chocolate and move on with my day. You need a proper, balanced, nourishing meal. You need something that's actually going to put some fuel in the tank and top you up. And also, a lot of people, some people experience those, I guess the body has a response to the physical hunger. Your tummy might rumble. You might feel a bit lightheaded. You might just go, oh my goodness, I feel like I'm just absolutely starving. You get that sensation of hunger. And what you decide to eat for most of us is a conscious decision, right? So you go, what do I feel like for lunch today? Or what can I have for breakfast today? It's not that spur of the moment or that craving that comes out of nowhere. And then the most important part with the physical hunger, I would hope for most people that you move on straight afterwards. You don't feel guilty. You don't feel resentful. You don't think, oh my goodness, that was such a bad decision, you know, to eat my overnight oats for breakfast. You don't feel guilty after that and go, oh, you know, that was a terrible choice, like some people do after you demolish a block of chocolate at 11 p.m. So that's, I think, the most important sign of physical hunger. And for so many of us, if we're not getting that physical sensation where we actually feel like, you know, our tummy's empty, or we're feeling a bit of that sort of low energy and brain fog and fatigue, some of those other cues might be really helpful. Like, some time has passed since you last ate. You can make a conscious decision around that meal. You could wait a little bit for that meal. Like, you look at the clock and you think, oh, I feel a bit hungry, or it's been a while since I had brekkie, but let me just pump out this email, then I'll go and get some food. So I think the ability to be able to wait for food and feeling control around those choices is a really nice sort of cue for that physical hunger. Now, what I feel like a lot of people struggle with is what I call that head hunger, right? So the head hunger is like, it comes out of nowhere. Like, 1 minute you're chilling on the couch, you're watching Netflix, and boom, an ad for like KFC comes on and you're just like, oh man, now I want some hot chips. Or an ad for like Baskin comes on and it's like, I want some ice cream. Yes. Give me that right now. So it kind of comes out of nowhere, and it's often a very specific type of food. Like, I don't know anyone that's ever craved some like steamed broccoli or some, you know, some like carrot sticks at like 11 p.m., right? So it comes out of nowhere. It's a specific type of food. And for many of us, like, it's a sweet or it's a salty type of thing. And that desire is very strong. Like, there's a sense of urgency around it. Like, oh my God, I need chocolate. Give it to me right now. Like, I have to have it. Like, we're off the couch, we're in the pantry, and we're like, what have I got here? What can I eat right now? It's not like the tummy hunger where you can wait for food a little bit. So that desire and that sense of urgency is like, I need food and I need it right now. And often, I guess, if you took a step back from that sensation or that feeling, you can connect it to a feeling for most of us. Like, you might be tired, you might be bored, you might just want to kind of reward yourself because you've had a really long, hard day, or you've just wrestled the kids into bed and you're like, oh, thank goodness, now I've got time to myself. Let me have, you know, some chocolate, or let me have some ice cream. So generally, it's an impulsive decision. It's a particular type of food, generally what I would call a soul food. And often for some people, that craving can lead to something else. So you might start with a glass of wine, move on to a little bit of ice cream, and then finish with some like salty potato crisps or chips, if you want to call them. And then what happens afterwards for some people as well, you kind of feel a little bit guilty, or you resent, you're like, oh, why did I do that? Or I really didn't need that. Or I can't believe how much of that food I ate. So unlike that physical or that tummy hunger where you can move on, you think, oh yeah, I feel pretty good. That was lunch. My body needed it. Let me go back to work now or do what I need to do. Often with that head hunger, for some people, there is some of that sort of guilt associated with it, which is absolutely not what we want. Like, we never want to feel guilty after eating food. So I think, to me, there's some easy ways to distinguish between both of the types of hunger, but I feel like it's that sense of urgency. It's a particular type of food and you can't wait for it. You can't sit back and be like, oh, I'll just chill here on the couch watching Netflix for another 45 minutes and then I might go grab something from the pantry after. For many of us, we're like straight off the couch and we're, you know, trying to break a Comm Games record, getting to the pantry and getting some sort of food out.
Yeah, I love that. That's a really good explanation. And the way that sometimes I see it is, you know how there's that stereotypical like emotional eating, you attribute it to something like if someone's going through a breakup, then they'll, you know, you have a vision of them in their house crying into a tub of ice cream, or if they've had a really stressful day at work, they'll come home and they'll pour themselves a glass of wine and end up just having the entire bottle because they're like super, super stressed.
Yeah.
But I feel like the way that you've explained it is so much more, I guess, rational. And if I put myself in that position, if I've had a super stressful day at work, you know, my body itself is not craving wine. My body doesn't need wine to survive.
Yeah.
It's a, I guess, an emotional thing that I think, oh, cool. Well, that, the, you know, the effect of alcohol, it's going to make me feel a bit more relaxed and, you know, tired and things like that. But what I want to know as well is, because what you're explaining before about the emotional hunger, I think is also very valid for like the 3:30-itis kind of thing. So when you're at work, you know, you've had lunch, it gets to like 3:30, you're feeling a bit tired, you might be a bit over what you're doing that day. And that's usually when you're like, oh, I want a cookie or some chocolate. And I know that's something that me and my work friends say all the time. And we actually went out the other day and bought like a little stash of Freddo Frogs, like a packet of Freddo Frogs, so we can all just have a little Freddo when that craving strikes. But are there things that we can like, things that we're doing or not doing throughout the day that might lead to those particular cravings, like not eating enough of something, or again, is it just emotional?
I feel like during the day, often it can actually be typical hunger, but when you feel that craving, a lot of us gravitate towards, I guess, more of the foods that don't really serve us or don't fill us up or don't provide us with balanced sugar levels. So I would look back at the days. So, you know, something like intermittent fasting is very trendy. Everybody wants to jump on it. It can really help with weight loss, but at the end of the day, it only really helps with weight loss because it's a calorie restriction. So what so many people are doing are fasting. They're waiting till midday to eat. They're counting down the seconds till the clock gets to midday, and then they're so hungry that they're demolishing lunch. They're like, oh my goodness, 2 p.m. I need more, 4 p.m. I need more. And they're kind of overeating. So if we're not having enough fuel during the morning, particularly if we've gotten up, we've smashed out a big workout class, and then we're trying to fast the rest of the morning, your body's going to need more and it's going to need more quickly. So underfueling, particularly for the morning, is one of the reasons I see people just getting really hungry in the afternoon. And I would say for most people, it's genuine hunger. The other reason, I think, not having a balanced lunch, particularly for females, and I work mostly with females in my, only with females in my coaching business, most of my females aren't having a balanced lunch. So for whatever reason, we almost fear carbs. So many of us are doing the same old, for what I like to call a boring tuna salad day in and day out. And we're not giving the body that balanced nutrition that it needs. And those carbohydrate choices that we're having, often it's like a sugary coffee, or it's a morning, you know, it's a muffin in the morning, or in the afternoon, it's some chocolate to pick me up. So we're getting the quick energy hit. The body's utilizing that energy really fast and our blood sugars are crashing back down again. And we're not getting that sustained energy. So for sustained energy, we want those balanced meals at breakfast and also at lunch. If you're not someone that eats breakfast, that's cool. Make sure your lunch is well portioned and well balanced as well. So I'm talking a decent serve of some sort of whole grain, fiber dense carbohydrate, a nice serve of some lean protein, a good serve of some healthy fats for our hormones, cellular production. And of course, we want some sort of colorful veggies in there. It doesn't just have to be greens, as many colors the better when it comes to vegetables and salads as well. So having a well balanced lunch versus like just some veggie soup, it's just not going to cut it, or just a toasty in the middle of winter just isn't going to cut it. It's not going to be enough. So it's almost, it's not shocking that your body craves more in the afternoon. So it's genuine hunger. What I like to say to my clients is I call the snacks two things. I call them whole food snacks, or I call them soul food snacks. And I say to my clients, if you are genuinely tummy hungry, have a whole food snack to fill up on. And then if your head wants a little something after, have a little bit of soul food. But what we don't want to do is go towards more of the soul food things. So I call soul foods those things that make our soul happy. They're not necessarily good for us, but they make us feel good. Chocolate, ice cream, donut, glass of wine, whatever it might be. It's not necessarily good for our body, but it makes us feel good, right? So I say have those things when you can just have a small amount of them. You can enjoy them for the taste and pleasure, and then you can move on afterwards without actually feeling guilty at all, because we do not want to feel guilty after eating. It's a horrible feeling and we should never feel guilty. So if your body's craving something and you're genuinely hungry, have something that's going to fill you up first. Some Greek yogurt and some fruit, some nuts and a boiled egg, some veggies and some, you know, some hummus and a couple of whole grain crackers. Something that'll fill you up first, and then, as you said, a small portion of something else afterwards if you're having that little sort of afternoon craving. craving. We want to balance the blood sugar levels first for sustained energy for dinner. If we just have a chocolate bar and it's say 2 p.m. and dinner's not till 7 p.m. and we have to finish work, fight the, you know, morning, you know, afternoon commute traffic, and then wrestle three kids into bed at night, by the time we get to have our dinner, we're going to be absolutely spent. And no wonder we're having way more cravings after dinner because our energy is just at an all-time low. We need to fuel our body with something that's going to provide sustained energy. So protein or fat, or always pairing our carbs with some sort of protein and fat, is a really good option, like some popcorn and some nuts, or some pretzels and a boiled egg, or some veggie sticks and some rolled, a little bit of chicken and some lettuce or something. So just a bit of protein with a bit of fat and then pair that with a bit of carb is a great formula to have that lasting energy throughout the afternoon. So it's not a bad thing to eat for the 3 p.m. sort of pick me up, but just be smart with your choices. And like you and your work colleagues do, keep your portions small of those things like soul foods, because large portions of them don't make us feel great. If we ate a donut and a hot chocolate, the large majority of people, myself included, are not going to feel great after that. But if we had some Greek yogurt and some nuts and a hot chocolate, maybe we'd feel okay. Or half a donut and we split it with a colleague plus, nuts, protein, you know, some sort of protein or fat source with that, we'd feel a little bit better afterwards as well. So I think it's about balancing the nutrition and the choices at 3 p.m., not restricting it, not saying I can't have it at all, but keeping those portions small and keeping them as like a little bit of a top me up. So I say have the whole food first and sprinkle on the soul foods afterwards, basically. So large portion of whole food to fill you up, small sprinkling of soul food to make your soul happy afterwards. That's sort of my secret formula.
So good. And two really good points you raised there. The first one being kudos to anyone who does intermittent fasting for, you know, fat loss, weight loss, and if that works for you. I have never understood it. I am ravishing when I wake up in the morning. And because I'm a morning exerciser as well, The thought of not eating, like breakfast is my first thing I think about when I wake up. And the second thing is, I really like what you touched on with people just having like a toastie or soup or something for lunch. And I see this so often. And I've been there myself. I've been in that, you know, when I was younger and didn't understand nutrition, you know, didn't have the understanding that I do now. I used to, you know, try and deprive my carbs and stuff and just have like a leafy salad with maybe some tuna or a veggie soup. And that's not even going to scrape the sides. And I think that's something really important to note, especially for younger women who might be still kind of stuck in that restrict diet mentality. I think that's a really important point that you noted there as well. Now, I might be speaking just on behalf of myself here, but personally, I'm a sweet post-dinner snacker. And I love something like a little jar of hot chocolate or a magnesium moon milk or, you know, some Lindt. I love me some Lindt, the salted Lindt. I absolutely love me too. Yeah, so good. But just sweet and savory cravings mean different things, because I remember seeing, you know, those like infographics that go on Instagram sometimes. So it says like, if you're really craving chocolate, it might mean that you're deficient in magnesium or something like that. Is that the same for like salty things?
Look, in a very, very small amount of cases, you know, a salty craving may be an underlying medical condition. It may be just that you've got a salt deficiency. It may be something simple like PMS, but in all honesty, in the large majority of cases, craving sweet or salty foods is for most part linked to some sort of emotional, linked to some sort of more habitual eating. I mean, sweet cravings as well could be pregnancy related, could be PMS related, could just be an imbalance of blood sugar levels throughout the day. But I think for most of us, I mean, I've seen so many things being like, if you're craving chocolate, you're deficient in magnesium. I mean, it's quite hard to be deficient in magnesium if you're eating a well-balanced diet. I think for many of us, we're looking for a solution as to why we're craving things. But I think for the large part of it, it's more of those psychological type issues, not underlying medical conditions, put it that way.
Yeah, I love that. So then if after dinner snacking is just not something you're willing to cut or something that you can cut, what are some of the best choices we can make? Because I, for one, hand over heart, have tried to do it before and it's just not for me. I honestly would cut my calories throughout the day to make sure that I can have some kind of sweet treat or something after dinner. So what are some of the best choices we can make?
Yeah. And if you're looking for more nutritious choices, as I said, like we really want to focus on something like protein or something like healthy fats to really fill us up. So some more nourishing options would be something like some fresh fruit, a medjool date stuffed with some peanut butter or some almond butter, a handful of nuts and seeds, some veggie sticks, some dip, some cheese on whole grain crackers. That's a really nice nourishing snack that's going to keep you, you know, give you lasting energy, or some Greek yogurt. But I think it really also depends on the time that you're eating. Like if you're a mum and you've got busy kids, you eat with the kids at 5 p.m. and you're snacking at 7 p.m., you probably want something that's going to carry you through. Versus if you're Netflixing and chilling at 11:30 at night, you probably don't want to have something that substantial. So I think it really does depend on the time that you're snacking, because you know we are snacking for energy and we want those more balanced options to give us that lasting energy. But I think the most important point is to be, I mean, let's be honest, most of us aren't eating after dinner. And I'm talking more of that late night snacking, you know, after sort of 8, 9, 10, 11 p.m. Most of us aren't snacking because we're actually hungry. So what we're doing is we're eating because for most of us, we want to fuel some sort of emotion, or we want, we want to have the food because it just tastes good. Let's be honest. So as I said at the beginning, if the late night snacking isn't serving you, if it's not something that you want to do, if your goal may be fat loss, or you just think, you know what, I shouldn't be eating this food because then I wake up in the middle of the night and I've eaten too much and I have a sore tummy, or I wake up the next day and I feel so bloated after I eat so much ice cream. If that isn't serving you, that habit, absolutely enlist the help of a professional such as a dietitian to help you overcome some of this nighttime snacking. But if that behavior is serving you, if it's something you genuinely wanted to, what I would do is allow yourself to have like a portion sized amount of something. So as an example, if you like sweet things after dinner, allow yourself to have, say, as an example, about 100 calories of chocolate, and then work this into your daily eating plan. So if the rest of your day is pretty lean and healthy, like you've got good quality balanced meals, you're moving your body, you're exercising, yeah, sure, a small portion of chocolate after dinner is absolutely okay. And if you did that every day, that is absolutely okay. But if you're someone who starts your day with a croissant or some sort of sugary breakfast cereal, your morning tea is a sugar-based coffee, or you know it's got some sweetener added in there, like some caramel syrup. Afternoon tea is some sort of muffin or pastry, or you have some of the office chocolates that are around. We're massively overdoing it if you then go and have some more sweets or some alcohol or something salty after dinner as well. So I think the after-dinner eating, as I said, has to be something that serves you. And if it is going to be more of that soul food type of thing, you want to make sure that the rest of your day is pretty balanced if you want to do that on a regular occasion. And I think it's more important to sort of honor that, you know, I want to eat after dinner. This is something that I really genuinely enjoy. And that is absolutely okay. We can eat for enjoyment. It doesn't always have to be for fuel purposes. But when we're eating for enjoyment and we're putting food into our body that is not necessarily nutritious, we don't want to eat too much of that, because a small portion of chocolate tastes amazing and makes us feel great. But eating the entire block, you don't taste it after a while. Like it just sort of becomes something that you're just eating and you're mindlessly munching on whilst watching Netflix or something. So after you finish eating it, you often feel quite guilty. It doesn't naturally make you feel great. And often most people wake up the next morning and they're running to the bathroom with like terrible diarrhea, or they feel so bloated and just really sluggish to start the morning. So if the food that you're eating at nighttime isn't serving you or isn't making you feel great, keep your portions of that very small, or swap it to something like I do. I tend to have my soul food portions in the afternoon just because I know that they make me feel great. And I have such a filling dinner at nighttime, and I normally finish my day with a cup of a decaf tea, which is one of my, you know, favorite habits in winter. I actually don't feel like I need much after dinner. It's very rare that I would actually eat something after dinner. So most of my snacking actually goes on in the afternoon because I'm busy, I'm looking after my baby, I'm running my business, I'm running around doing things, and I get, you know, genuinely hungry in the afternoon. So that's where most of my snacking is. But I think it's really dependent on the person and what you actually want to do. And if that behavior is serving you and it's something that you enjoy doing, absolutely. Now make sure it's worked into your day so that there's no guilt or feelings of resentment after you do that, particularly if you're doing it on a regular basis. There's nothing worse than regularly snacking after dinner and feeling awful after doing that.
Yeah. And the last thing I want to touch on is actually something I heard on your podcast, The Nutrition Couch, the other day. Huge fan, tune in every single week. And
Thank you. You
guys did an episode on chocolate. And one of the points that you raised, yeah, I feel like you and I have very similar taste when it comes to like food. I've recently converted to shopping at Aldi because inflation, and Aldi is the tits. I'm obsessed with Aldi now, particularly the sweets. And I think that you spoke about portion control as well. And I think that's something that a lot of people struggle with in terms of snacking. So if you're one of those people who can go to the cupboard, have two pieces of Lindt and put it away, that is amazing. go forth and do that. But if you're one of those people who would feel inclined to eat half or the whole block, then maybe look to buy, like you recommended from Aldi, the individually wrapped chocolate. That's a great idea and it's delicious. Or as I said earlier, an individual size like wrapped Freddo or a little mini fun size Mars bar or something. I think that that is something, a really important point to raise, because I think that portion control is something that so many people struggle with.
Absolutely. And also you've got to help yourself out, right? Like if you're sitting there and you're really engrossed in a movie or Netflix or whatever it might be, and you've got a whole block of chocolate in front of you, you are going to mindlessly eat the majority, if not all of that block of chocolate. It's not you. It's not willpower. It's just the fact that it's in front of you and you're eating it without really even realizing it. So help yourself out. Create an environment that is going to be supportive of your goals. Don't take the whole block of chocolate out of the pantry and sit with it in front of the TV. Portion out a small amount, put it back in the cupboard, go and go back into the other room and continue watching the TV show. So many of us, if you think about the movies, I often sit next to someone at the movies and they finished an entire like thing of popcorn before the movies even started and they're just inhaling it. I'm like, mate, did you even stop to breathe? Like it's that mindless eating for so many of us is something that we really struggle with. So trying to pay as much attention to the food, because if we're mindful with the eating, we can actually get enjoyment and pleasure out of the food because we actually taste it. So as you said, pre-portioning things is a really wonderful idea. And also having your soul foods in places that aren't in places that you're regularly seeing. So if that block of chocolate is the first thing that you see when you open your pantry and you open that pantry 3, 4, 5, 10 times a day, you're going to feel those sugar cravings or that craving for chocolate so much more than if the chocolate was still in your pantry, but it was in like a box that you couldn't see through and it was pushed towards the back of the pantry. So we've got to help ourselves out. Humans are conditioned to want to do what they see. Like, you know, you're watching TV, you're all fine and dandy, nothing's happening. And then you see an ad for cheesecake comes on the TV and you're like, oh my God, now I want cheesecake. The more you see something, the more you're going to want it and the more your brain is primed to actually want to have it. So help ourselves out. If you had a lolly jar on your kitchen bench, you would eat probably 10 times as many lollies if that lolly jar was in the pantry, and then probably 2 times as much if that lolly jar was in the pantry in a box that you couldn't see through, pushed towards the back of the pantry. So we've got to actually help ourselves out here as well. I feel like so many people feel like they're giving into temptation again and again and again, but it's not willpower. It's not our fault. We're not weak. We haven't failed the diet. We're just not setting up our environment to actually be helpful for us.
That's why every time I look at Khloe Kardashian's kitchen, how she has those big biscuits jars and those big lolly jars, I'm like, how do you do that and why are you doing that to yourself?
Exactly. And same with kids. Like if you've got kids at home, obviously we don't want our children having too many of these soul foods. So if the kids open the pantry and the box of tiny teddies is staring at them and the box of shapes is staring at them, of course they're going to want to eat that food again and again and again. And those foods aren't nutritious food. So it's perfectly okay to have those kid type snacks in the pantry, but put them into another bag, like a Woolworths shopping bag that you can't see through. So they're in the pantry, but the kids aren't seeing them every time they open the pantry. So when they do open the pantry, the fruit bowl is the first thing that they see. So the kids are more inclined to say, Mom, can I have some fruit? Versus, Mom, I want some tiny tatties right now. So I think it's really helpful for, yes, adults, but also our children as well, in terms of setting ourselves up with some really healthy habits that are going to serve us long into the future.
That's amazing. I always learn so much from you. And the last thing I want to say is, I don't know why this has been in my head the whole time I've been chatting to you about late night snacking, but you know that episode of Sex and the City where Miranda makes the big chocolate cake and she keeps going back to the fridge and taking a slice and then she has to put it in the bin and put dishwashing detergent over the top of it so she stops eating it?
Yeah.
Don't put a whole cake in your fridge.
Exactly. If you're going to make a whole cake, give it away. And a lot of my clients that I work with, a lot of the ladies are striving for fat loss. And that's a great goal to have, but we want to do it in a balanced way. And they say to me, Leanne, I want to make some brownies. And I'm like, I think what we should do is go and buy a delicious brownie from the best bakery in town, have the one brownie and move on. Because guess what, guys? If you're going to make 20 pieces of brownie, guess what's going to happen? You're probably going to eat half of that in one day. And again, you're not weak. It's not about the willpower. It's really just that you're not helping yourself out. If that brownie is sitting on the kitchen bench or you've made a whole loaf of banana bread and it's sitting there staring at you, I can almost put my money on it that you will go back time and time again. So give it away, take it with you to work, send some to school for the kids' lunch boxes, whatever you need to do, because you will eat that food until there is no more food left or until it is in the bin with dishwashing liquid on top of it, which honestly is just such a waste, right? It breaks my heart if someone was to throw a whole chocolate cake in the bin.
I know. Oh, that is so amazing. Thank you so much touch. And what I'm going to do is I'm actually going to pop the link to that chocolate episode in this week's show notes, because I think that's something that everybody should give it a listen to if you are a sweet late night snacker as well. And then you guys actually have some live podcast shows coming up in Brisbane, Sydney and Melbourne. So I will also pop the link to purchase tickets to that in this week's show notes. And if you want to finish by maybe just giving a little elevator pitch as to why everyone should attend those events.
Absolutely. So my other podcast I run with my co-host Susie Burrell is called The Nutrition Couch Podcast. It is Australia's number one nutrition podcast. So we are very, very proud of it. We talk all about topical media trends, diets, food products. We do supermarket reviews. There's two episodes that drop every week, and we thought we would celebrate a million downloads on the podcast by going on tour. So we are touring Brisbane August the 20th, Sydney September the 3rd, and Melbourne September the 17th. Now, we are covering all things topics that females struggle with. We're talking about hormones, the role of hormones in weight control, how insulin controls fat metabolism. We're talking about gut health, why you have sluggish gut health, why you have brain fog, why you have terrible cravings. We're going to give our listeners a simple formula to optimize their gut microbiome. And the final topic that we're discussing is fat loss, but it's really about reprogramming our eating behavior and how our psychology influences our food choices. And what are some of the biggest barriers to fat loss that we see with our clients? And then, of course, we've got fabulous goodie bags. We've got barista-style coffee, a light morning tea. We would absolutely love to see everybody there. And the Brisbane event is coming up really soon. It's next week on August the 20th. So you can purchase tickets at thenutritioncouch.com. And thank you so much, Phoebe, for giving me my chance to do the elevator pitch.
Oh, my pleasure. And how good that events are back, guys. I will be there. So I recommend you take advantage of, you know, the COVID lockdowns being over and get out there and go to an event. It'll be lots of fun. Absolutely. I can't wait.
Thank you so much for having me.